We're going to be in this passage for the next 2 weeks, and it will connect to what we've been doing in Romans and Hebrews. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let me, before we get into that, let me read a couple of verses to set the context for the verses that we're going to look at today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says this. In chapter 1, verse 18 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, he says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." It's a reminder that the gospel is not always received well by everybody. Some people hear the gospel and they think it's a great message, and if you're a believer, you still think that it's an amazing message and amazing truth, because it is. There are a lot of people that hear the truth of the gospel and they think it's absolutely ridiculous. They would say, hearing that message, and they would look at the church and they would say that we're very exclusive, that we would think that this really is the only way to peaceful fellowship with God, that we are that narrow-minded to say that outside of Jesus there's really no hope. And so you understand when Paul said that the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. It really is interesting the different responses that the gospel brings. Now, I bring that up because that's really the backdrop to every verse that we're going to look at today in the last two verses of chapter 1 and then into chapter 2. So a couple of things I want us to see, and it will connect back to the word of the cross being foolishness. He says, "And because of him," and we'll answer who that is in just a second, "you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification, redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." So he says this because of him, and it's actually because of God. What he's saying here is he's speaking to the church, he's speaking to believers. I mean, if you've studied the book of Corinthians, he's speaking to believers who are struggling with a lot of different sin. That's who Corinthians is written to. These folks are really struggling. And he says, because of God, you are in Christ Jesus. In other words, what he could have said was, because of God, you are now a Christian. If you've heard me say this before, that Christians are called Christians like one time in the Bible. But in Christ Jesus is the typical description of a believer, because in Christ Jesus, us being told that we are in Christ Jesus is over 70 some odd times just in the New Testament. And so if you really want to know what a Christian is, you can look up all of the references to in Christ Jesus and write down everything you learn, and you will learn what a Christian is. A Christian is one who has been redeemed. A Christian is one who has been forgiven. A Christian is one, who is at peace with God. It goes on and on and on and on. But because of God, we are now in Christ Jesus. And then he says down here, and we'll get into that verse as well, so that no human being may boast in the presence of God. If you're a Christian, you're a Christian because of God's grace. And it is very difficult for us to find the ability to boast about ourselves when talking about God's grace. God's grace is what we should be boasting in. Christ is who we should be boasting in, not in ourselves. And so that's why he says here, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. He says, and because of God, you were in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that we may not boast. So several things you see about Christ, who he is to us. First of all, Christ is our wisdom. Christ is the ultimate wisdom of the church. If the church is not built on the name of Christ, then it's not the church. And Christ is our wisdom because Christ crucified is the substance and certainty of God's wisdom towards us. If we in the church are not standing firm on the message of the birth and life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then we're not the church. We may look like a church, but we're not the church. He is the foundation of the church. He is ultimately the wisdom of the church. He is the righteousness of the church. He is the way that we become righteous before God is through believing in him. It is not through doing things for God. It's through believing what God has done for us in Christ. Once we have heard and believed in the gospel, we understand faith in Christ as our only hope of standing righteous before God, so that when we do stand before God, we will not be boasting in our testimony. If God does ask you that question, you know, hey, why should I let you in? You're not going to start going, well, you want to talk about my Bible study attendance, my Sunday school attendance, my church attendance, how much I gave. I mean, no, you will boast in Christ at that point. Why should I let you in? Because of what Jesus did. And I believed in what Jesus did. And that's the only reason. So it's really nothing about me. It's about him. We should always be boasting in him because that's what we're going to be doing for eternity anyway. Nobody's going to be sitting around. I don't know if in the banquet hall of heaven we're going to have round tables or rectangular tables. I mean, I don't know what it's going to be like. But nobody's going to be sitting there going, hey, you need to hear my story. Because we will have died to whatever that story is. It's just not going to matter anymore because we're going to realize that there's nothing about my story that warranted me entering into this place. But it's all about the story of Jesus and what he did for me, and I have believed in that. That's what the church ultimately boasts in. He is our sanctification, which means he's not only the one who saves us and enables us to stand righteous before God, but he is the one that literally liberates us from day in, day out as he grows us up in himself as we become mature in Christ. And he is our redemption. He is our only hope of past redemption, present redemption, and future redemption. He's always been the hope of redemption. So he says this, because of him, you're in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. And he says, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. So the warning to the church at Corinth and to you as well is beware of boasting in your salvation as if it's something that you did. Beware of that because you're taking credit where you don't deserve credit. He gets all the credit for salvation. Beware of boasting. Beware of falling prey to eloquent wisdom and religious manipulation. When you think of telling another person your testimony, are you going to tell them about the resurrection power of Jesus or about how you pulled it off? I mean, think about it, because a lot of people, if you listen to them, you would think they almost pulled it off themselves. Let Jesus, not man, be the one in whom you boast. Now, the next thing, we're going to whip through several things in pulling this together today. Christ is the message of the church. What I probably should have put here is Christ should be the message of the church. Because I think we could all argue, I'm not sure that Christ is any longer the message of the church. But he should be the message of the church. Here's what he said. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. In other words, that, you know, if Paul were an elder or a deacon or a leader in your church and you were on a pastoral search, he would probably be looking for something more than lofty speech. He would be looking for something more than charisma. All right? He would be listening very close to the heart of the message. So he says, I didn't come to you like that. For I decided to watch this. This is, if you really want to know what was Paul's ultimate philosophy on preaching, it's right here in 1 Corinthians 2:1. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was the source and the substance of the message of Paul's preaching. It was centered on the work of Christ. Every single time you invited him to speak in your church, it was the same thing. And if he happened to be in your church for 3 months straight, you know, preaching in the pulpit for 3 months straight, that would have still been the heart of the message that he would preach. He tells you, I decided to know nothing among you but that. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And in my speech and message were not implausible words of wisdom. I don't think that he was really looking for that was really an inspiring message, Paul. I am so inspired. I don't think that would have done anything, really, for Paul. Because the gospel isn't always, quite frankly, that inspiring. It's very convicting. It'll take your feet out from under you. It'll knock your pride out from under you. It'll build humility in you. But it may not make you want to go out and leap tall buildings in a single bound. You may feel like I need to go home and get on my knees and confess to God. I was teaching a group this past week on Monday in Greenville, And somebody said something afterwards. It was just such encouragement to me to keep at least sharing truth with other people. He said, you know, while you were teaching today, and he goes, and by the way, it wasn't you. And I was like, good, we're getting somewhere here. He said, while you were teaching today from the book of Galatians, I felt two things. I was thinking, man, I'm about to either find out I'm a false prophet or maybe for the first time in my life something good happened. And he said, here's what happened. He said, while you were teaching, I felt an overwhelming conviction of my sin, and I felt overwhelming joy that Christ had paid for it. And I said, that's all that matters. And what I was so thankful, he didn't go, and your presentation was amazing. No, he didn't say anything like that. That was an amazing presentation. I mean, because I don't want that. I want it to be identifying that it was, that's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God was coming off the pages of the Scripture and doing that to his heart. That's really all that matters. So not the lofty speech, plausible wisdom, but he said, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I think what Paul is referring to here is that anything that was good that was happening in the lives of the listeners to his sermons was the Spirit of God. And anything that maybe was bad or off the mark would have been him veering to the right or veering to the left. He wasn't going to take the credit for the good, but he might have taken credit for the bad. So the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, this is not people, you know, that this context in Corinth, I can tell you, is not people being raised from the dead. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a gospel proclamation that wrought faith in the hearts of those that were listening, because he's already told you the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. He also would have had people coming to him going, I don't like that message. Remember, he's ultimately going to be beheaded on the side of the road, and his body's just going to be discarded there. So there are going to be a lot of people that aren't going, hey, that was a great message. There's some people waiting outside to ambush him. He said, why is this true? So that your faith will not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God, in the word of the cross. Christ is our wisdom. We've seen it already once. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although this is not a wisdom of this age. Now look, this is referring back to the word of the cross being foolish to those who are perishing. Look at what he says. It is not the wisdom that we're preaching is not of this age, and although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, for we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. It was foolishness to them. There was a group of people that would hear the gospel and say, that is ridiculous. That is stupid. That is absurd. That is exclusive. I'm not interested. Well, when people say that, we don't change our message. And I feel today there's a temptation. When people don't like what we said, we try to say it in a better, more pleasing way. We try to get more politically correct. We try to woo them in, maybe hold them in a little longer without telling them the truth and nothing but the truth and the whole truth. And we begin to compromise. Paul understood, when I preach the gospel, some people like it, most people hate it. It's okay. The answer is not you compromising. Faith comes from hearing the gospel, not a compromise of the gospel, not a dumbing down of the gospel, not a politically correct version of the gospel, but the gospel. And Paul has already said that some don't like it. The rulers of this age didn't understand it. They didn't like it. They killed Jesus. That group, or at least an offsprings of that group, would have ultimately done away with all of the apostles. They would end up killing all of them, but one, I mean, they were just dead, one after the other. Well, they didn't start sitting around going, you know, guys, I think we could stay alive a whole lot longer if we just blew a little more smoke when we preached. I don't think people would hate us so much. And that's what's happened to us today. is we compromise, trying to win over people who don't embrace the gospel. So we dumb it down so we can somehow make them think that they're getting in. You got to be careful of that. We're all tempted to do that. He says, what is written? No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Then he says that these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. Here's what Paul understood. When I go out and preach the gospel, the Spirit is going to move in a way that brings some to faith, and some he's not going to move in the same way. That's the context of Romans 1 and 2. Even if you're uncomfortable with what I just said, if you were to read 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, you would see that's what he's talking about. He goes on here, and he says this, Christ's Spirit, our teacher. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart these words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Here's the thing that Paul understood. It's only going to be the people that truly understand the work of Christ that are going to understand the words of Christ. I don't know about you. I've got lost friends. I'm sure all of you have lost friends. I can cling tightly to the truth of the cross and them not even think twice about the truth of the cross. They don't give a rip about it. Because the Spirit of God is not working in that manner among them. So, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God.